Jesus Christ, he never lets our hopes down. Thank you, Lord. And this other one, I love you, I need you. If you are not to the place in your life yet where you can say to Jesus Christ, I love you and I need you, then let me encourage you to seek him. Go find out who he is and what he's all about. And you will fall in love with him. If you truly seek him, you will find him. That's how I ended up getting saved. The point came in my life when I needed to seek him. I was seeking all sorts of things from the world. I was even seeking all sorts of things from other people. But until I started seeking Jesus Christ, I didn't understand. But once I started seeking him, I found him, and then I fell in love with the one I found, and I learned, you know what? You are the one I need. I thought I needed that woman right there who I've been married to for 31 years, and thank God he allowed me to have her. But it wasn't her that I needed most. It was Jesus Christ that I needed most, and I thank God that she had the strength in him in her own life to lead me straight to him. And I give God glory for that. And while I'm giving God glory, we have seen 5 people, I believe, in the last month turn their hearts to Jesus Christ. And that is awesome. And I'm thrilled about that. A couple quick announcements. We have, and I forgot to announce this last week, but and I really hope that you hear me, that you have time this Thursday evening to come out at 7 o'clock. We have Steve and Rita Fidel coming. They've come year after year, and they have blessed us year after year. They always speak words of encouragement. They always bless those who they pray for. And so I'd like to, you know, see as many of you that can possibly come out and just experience, you know, just God's love through their ministry here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and the 10th. Also, we have our annual business meeting coming up on the 14th, and so be thinking about that. That's a Monday night. That'll be at 7 o'clock as well, and we'd like to see you here. Even if you're not a member of the church, we'd love to have you here because your voice matters to us, your opinions matter to us, and any of the conversations we have might matter to you. And so please come and join us in that as well. That'll be the Monday the 14th at 7 o'clock. We have communion this morning, and I would like to have someone help pass that out. We're going to do it before the children go downstairs because I don't want anybody to be left out. And so if I could have just a couple volunteers help pass out communion as Sarah comes and shares with us about Mission Sunday. Yeah, that a boy. Somebody's excited about being here this morning. Yeah. Oh, he's going to like what we have for communion too. Father, bless these as we spread them out, Lord God, your body and your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that not on? Is it red light on?
How about now? Yeah. All right, as you know, the first Sunday of the month is Mission Sunday. And this month I wanted to highlight how we financially support the CareNet Pregnancy Care Center, which is a local ministry here in Geneva. Not only financially, but we have Pastor Dale helps with some of the men ministering to them. Karen is a volunteer at the center. Crystal is on staff, my daughter Crystal, and I volunteer there. So it's not just financial support, we're there physically too. So what I wanted to say is our banquet is coming up, which is October 30th. It's a Friday night. I think it's the 30th. And it's $25 a person. And this year, for the first time, we're actually having a buffet instead of that chicken. I mean, the chicken was good, but, you know. But this year, we're going to have a buffet, which will be fun to do. And some of the speakers will be Doreen Always Shares, our director. We have a board member this year is going to share how abortion has affected her life. One of our nurses, Sue, she's going to be sharing, and also I'm going to be sharing a little bit. So we have several different people sharing that night. So if you would like to get a ticket, I have tickets with me anytime you see me within now and, you know, into October. I have tickets, so if you want to buy them, you can buy them for me. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. If you have free time throughout the week, let Sarah know if you could be made available. Do we have enough juice? Louis still passing some out. Let Sarah know if you have time and availability. You know, some of the jobs that are required at the Pregnancy Care Center are just very simple jobs anybody could do. You know, for instance, just sorting out clothes that they take in and things like that. You know, putting them on hangers and little things like that. You know, if somebody is really ministry minded and God has spoken to you and anointed you to work with people, I mean, there's opportunities as well to minister to, you know, the clients that come in, you know, in time with training, and there's always need. And if you want to bless them, you know, beyond what you are now, even if you don't have time, certainly they can use all the financial help that they can get in order to reach out to the young men and women that partake in their ministry. And so, you know, again, it's just the CareNet Pregnancy Care Center down in Geneva is just doing a marvelous work. And I am really blessed and honored to be able to have opportunity to participate in that. You know, it's one of those ministries that, you know, like Jesus, and I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. He went to where the people were. You know, he didn't just sit up at the front of the church and expect that everybody was going to come to him. He went to them. And that's part of what this ministry does. It reaches out to those in their deepest needs in the moment when they desperately need help. And did we have enough juice? Except I don't have one. You don't have one either? We need two. One for me, one for Sarah, and one for whoever it is that's running after. Thank you. Oh, a fishy got loose in the pan. That's pretty funny, being that the verse I'm going to talk about this morning. Very appropriate. Praise God. We'll give my sister one moment to come back. There's a couple more coming, brother. Oh, you didn't get a fish either? Oh, goodness. Oh, you were talking. Yeah. Amen. I'm here just thankful that God just gives us this place to come in and enjoy his presence. Isn't it awesome? And I appreciate, you know, the worship team, those who come. And you may have, we never practice. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it just comes out. Maybe you are aware of that. But, you know what? God just put a bunch of people together that have a heart to play music and strum instruments or beat on something and worship him. And hallelujah. He blesses it and he shows up when we do it. And I'm encouraged by that. But I'm also encouraged by a congregation that is willing to stand and just turn their hearts toward God, however good or bad we're doing up here. And you guys just turn your hearts to God and worship him as well. And so I appreciate each and every one who comes and who truly worships Jesus Christ. You know, we're not in this just for something to do. We don't, you know, put this service together every week just so that we can have a social club. We come here because we love Jesus Christ and we want to let him know it. And we love one another. We want each other to know it and to just enjoy his presence. Ooh, those are special. I've got one. Yeah. Yeah, they're a little off color. I don't know what's up with that. Did you do like when we were kids and we ran out of ketchup, you put water in the bottle, you shake it up and get the rest out? Is that what you did? Anybody do that? Children, you're never out of ketchup. Just put a little water in there, shake it up, there'll be a little bit more. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says in verse 23, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Now, I take pretty much everything Paul says, a lot, you know, very literal. He says, I received the same thing that I delivered to you. You know what that means? It means that Paul took communion and he delivered communion to others. Now, Paul was not there the night that Jesus broke the bread and passed it around. Paul was not there the night that he took the cup and spread it around. But Paul was a believer in Jesus Christ who knew what the ordinances that the Lord would have us to keep. And communion being one of them, he received himself and he also delivered to others. And so what we are receiving this morning is something that God has ordained, something that God wants every believer to partake of, his body and his blood. And so that's why we do this. And so Paul explains that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's one of the reasons why we do this, simply because how many are forgetful? Have you read in the Old Testament where, you know, there'd be a generation that followed the Lord, but then the next generation completely forgot it? They forgot how he brought them through the Red Sea and how he delivered them from Egypt, how he sustained them in the desert, and how he finally led them into the promised land. They forgot. Well, guess what? We're 2,000 years away from the death of Jesus Christ when he was crucified on the cross for our sins. And there are many people who have forgotten. Many people who doubt, many people who will not believe that that event even took place, or even that Jesus was a real figure, a real person. And so we do this, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you. Let's partake together. And verse 5 says, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." You know, I've seen different groups of young people and, you know, different gangs and clubs, and they have this line, "I'll bleed for you." Oh, really? And some might really mean it. But would you bleed for everybody? You know what? It's something that we'll do something and we'll for our friends. But Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood, it was for everybody. It was for those who would believe. It was for those who would doubt. It was for those who were doing the right things. It was for those that were doing the wrong things. He had no judgment of character. And that's why when we offer communion here, we offer it to everybody. My only desire is that you have a knowledge that Jesus Christ died for you. That his body was broken and his blood was shed for the remission of your sins. That's why we do this. Because he bled for us, each and every one. And Lord, we will not forget the life that you have given us through the shedding of your blood. Let's partake together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Children, would you like to go downstairs this morning? Did somebody spill a little? Amen. Any other children like to go downstairs? Yeah, Lloyd, you can go with them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Again, I'd like to welcome those who've perhaps this is your first time here. And I want you to know that my desire for you is the same desire I have for me, that God will so move in your heart that you'll be drawn closer to him. my desire is that for, you know, every person that walks through these doors, every single time we walk through these doors, until I see him face to face, I know that there's another step I can get closer. And so I ask him to move in my heart, and I trust that he will move in yours as well, and that you will hear his voice, and you'll feel his just love reaching out to you, and that you'll be blessed by him today in his presence. And so welcome. We're glad that you're here. I hope that when you leave, you can say that you were glad to be here too. But what I've been preaching on in the last several weeks is what I've been calling this the master key, these five verses. The master key to a successful Christian life. How many want to succeed in this Christian life, right? Well, in order to do that, we need to start by giving him our life, by repenting, for his kingdom is at hand. And we need to be willing to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow him. The verse in the middle there, Matthew 4:19, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. This is really the verse that started all of this particular series that I've been preaching. We've been talking about the first two verses for several weeks now, and I'm going to mention the center one again, even though I preached on this verse a few weeks ago. we're going to talk a little bit more about it today. But continuing on in our walk with Christ, we're understanding that we receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on us in order that we can be witnesses for him. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants you to tell somebody. Yeah. Now point your finger right at yourself. He wants you to tell somebody too. And he'll give you his Holy Spirit, and he'll empower you and embolden you to be able to do that. And we'll talk about that perhaps in the weeks to come. And then finally, you know, the call that God has given the church. Who is the church? Say, I am. The call that God has given the church to preach the gospel to every creature. I find that very interesting. Preach the gospel to every creature. But if you look up that particular word creature, you would find out that he's talking about every heart and soul of man and women and children. But I like to use that verse to help you to practice, because it does say every creature. So if you struggle telling others about Jesus, tell your cat, tell your dog. You got a fly on the wall driving you nuts, get them saved, and then kill them. Amen. And so wherever you are in your Christian walk, if today's the first day that you believed, you know what, I think maybe this Jesus thing is real. And maybe I want to give my heart to him. Maybe I want to ask him to forgive me of my sin and come into my life and change my life. If today was the first day, then that's awesome. You have started down this road. But if you've been saved for a while, realize that there's a transition where we go from getting saved to where we grow in the things of God, in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord, to where we become, what it says in the middle there, fishers of men. And if you're not at that place yet where you're spreading the gospel, you know, that last verse there, preaching the gospel to every creature, all the people in your realm of influence, all the people in your world, if you're not to that place yet, then let me encourage you, keep growing, keep praying, keep seeking God and his will for your life. And you will eventually get to that place where you'll be confident and you'll be comfortable and you'll be able to say to anybody, hey, you know what? I'd really like to tell you what Jesus has done for me. When you get to that place, you know that you are doing what God has called you to do. He wants every single voice. How many know that America, how many know that this world today needs every single voice that believes in Jesus Christ to lift him up and proclaim his name and share the gospel with every lost soul? I believe that the reason why America is in a decline today is because the church has not been doing its job. I see, you know, all the issues. You know, I mean, pick an issue. It doesn't matter what it is. You could, you know, I went to a round table for the heroin thing. The state put together this round table. They went around the whole state putting together these meetings, talking about what to do about the whole heroin epidemic. And I went to one, and I went up to the podium, and I explained to them what I believe the case, not just for the heroin addiction problem, but all the problems that we struggle with in this nation. I looked at, there was a panel of medical people and senators and law enforcement people all there. And I said to them, you know what, senators, I appreciate you putting this thing, you know, this meeting together that we can talk about this. Communities need to be talking about the problems that are there. If you don't talk about the issues, you'll never come to a conclusion or any help for any of the situations. It'll just be there. And so I thanked them for putting together the meeting, but I said, senators, quite honestly, you see this as a government problem. And all these medical professionals here, they see this as a medical problem. And all these law enforcement people here, you see this as a law enforcement problem. I said, I stand here before you as a pastor, and I believe this is a church problem. And so you can take any of the issues that this nation is struggling with today. I believe it's a church problem. I believe that the church, we're doing what it says there in Mark 16, chapter 15. Lifting up his name, he would do what he says and he would draw others to him. And perhaps we wouldn't have much of the turmoil and strife and division that we see in our nation today if the church was doing its job. And so my call to you today is to figure out where you are in your walk with God and desire intently, intentionally desire to grow in God and get to that place where you're comfortable telling your loved ones, telling your neighbors, telling even the person that you really don't like that Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is our only hope, and he is the only way to heaven. And reach out in love. Now, I wanted to cover this whole verse, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I want to talk about the whole thing, but I don't think I'm going to have time. So I think I'm only, as I'm making my PowerPoint, you know, on this, I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to have time for all this. So I only have half my PowerPoint for this message. And so what I want to talk about today is just the first part. But what it says, you know, Jesus, when he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He gave us a bit of instruction and a bit of information about what our lives should be about. I found this verse to be very fascinating. I believe that every single person who calls on his name, whether you just got saved this morning or whether you've been following him for several years, we all fit in this verse. And I find that very fascinating. If you're a believer who just started the walk, you just started following Jesus, you answered the call, follow me. And if you're one who is out preaching the gospel to every creature and doing what God has called you to do, then you're at the end of that verse, you're a fisher of men. Every single one of us falls somewhere between following him and fishing for men. And that's why this verse has been so powerful throughout this particular little series. I believe it's central for the Christian life. That we need to take heed to the instruction that we have been given to follow him, and take heed to the information about what our lives should be about. Now, it's interesting, because these two things seem to be a very difficult thing to convince people of doing. Anybody who is out preaching the gospel, who is lifting up Jesus Christ, who is witnessing, testifying for the Lord, have you found it difficult to convince people to follow Jesus? I have. And it blows our mind because, yeah, we've been following him for years. And it's like, well, why would you choose anything else? But go back to before you got saved. If you didn't grow up in church, and I didn't grow up in church. And so I can think back to before I found Christ, before I learned of his love for me. I remember I wasn't easily convinced. I used to pump gas up in Lyons, and there was this guy that would, every time he came, I knew it, he was coming. Oh boy, he's going to give me another one of those tracks. I'd take him, and as soon as he left, oh thank you, yeah, as soon as he left, throw it right in the trash, not even read them. It's not easy to convince people to follow Christ. and seemingly equally difficult, it seems to be hard to convince Christians to fish for men, or in other words, to share their faith. See, now I'm talking to the choir. Why is it so hard to be convinced to share your faith with the lost? And I know this because I was in that position myself at one time. I was like, oh, I'm not saying nothing. My friends have ridiculed me because I go to church now. They make fun of me because I don't drink with them anymore. I'm not telling anybody about Jesus. I'm just going to live my life over here. And then you go to family function, and all your family's like, oh, well, what's different about you? Oh, nothing. It's not easy, is it, to share your faith? And so I find it very interesting, the two things that God has very poignantly said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. It's hard to convince people to do either one of those. Well, today I hope that we can get past all of that, and if you have never called upon Jesus' name, that today would be the day you start to follow him. Or if you've never, or you've, you know, you've heard of his name, you've been around the church for a while, but you've never really committed, hopefully today would be that day you choose, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And if you have been following him, then I hope that today will be the day that you will be encouraged to say, you know what, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell my friends, I'm going to tell my family members. It doesn't, they already think I'm weird. What difference does it make? Right? You might as well prove them right. Amen. Tell them what God has done for you. You know, I don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, what did he do for you? I was a sinner. And I realized that I was condemned to hell for my sin. But then I learned that Jesus Christ on the cross paid for my sin. And he paid that debt for me. And if I would just turn my heart to him, allow him to come in and fill my life with his love, and follow him, that I know I'm not a sinner anymore according to him. Hallelujah. He put my name down with the saints. And you know, I know there are people that get offended. Oh, you can't call yourself a saint. He did. Believe me, when I look in the mirror, I don't see a saint, but somehow Jesus does. The long and the short of it is, hey, you know what? Jesus Christ changed my life, and if you will turn your heart to him, he'll change yours too. It's that simple. Share your faith with somebody. Get to that place. Make an intentional decision. Again, I always talk about this. Spiritual growth is intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to seek him. You have to go after him. If you want to grow spiritually, get in your Bibles. Learn of him. Get on your face and pray and listen and let him just fill your life with love and with wisdom and with knowledge, understanding. Anybody have a verse you just, oh, I've read this verse 10 times. I don't understand it. Anybody have that happen? Yeah. We all have. Where does understanding come from? Comes from God. Where do new thoughts come from? New good thoughts come from God. Lord, I don't know what I don't know, and I don't even know what to ask you. But help me know something, God. And next time you read that verse, it's like, oh, that's what it says. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit just gives you revelation about what God's Word says. But you don't get that if you don't intentionally go after God with your whole heart. Don't go after him just for the information, because that's just head knowledge. Go after him for the love and the relationship. That's heart knowledge. And he'll change your life. Amen. I got to move on here. It takes true commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:38 says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. If you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, I hope you have chosen to make it a life commitment. I know it's far too many people who put their toe in the water and got a little uncomfortable. Oh my gosh, those people are praying out loud. I don't think I like that. Oh, they're clapping and they're raising their hands. I'm uncomfortable with that. And there are so many things I could talk about where people would get very uncomfortable. But you know what? If you read his word and you find that, hey, you know what? Praise is loud. They lifted up their voices. They beat on cymbals and drums and they blew trumpets and there was dancing and there was all sorts of stuff going on. You learn that, you know what? I can become comfortable in God's presence, whatever's going on around me. And that's an awesome thing, but it's a commitment. Just like a marriage is a commitment. Nobody enters a marriage without the intent of that being lifelong, I hope. Because if you do, you've set yourself up for failure. And so when you start this Christian walk and you choose to follow Jesus Christ, make sure it's a life commitment, something you're not going to turn away from the moment it gets hard. Something that, you know, as soon as somebody laughs at you or persecutes you, or if you're in the Middle East, decides that they're going to burn you alive or chop your head off, you're going to stand for Jesus Christ. That's a commitment. That's a real commitment. You know, we think we have it so hard here in Geneva, New York, to follow Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. You go over and see these other countries in the world, and you find out what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It's a commitment. And so when it comes to following Christ, be prepared to commit. Because if you will not commit and take up your cross and follow him, you're not worthy of him. Secondly, it takes ears that hear to follow Jesus. Matthew 11:15, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. How many times? You read your Bibles, you read through the Gospels, many times it says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what are you listening for? His voice. I've had many people say, I don't hear his voice. He doesn't talk to me. Yes, he does. What do you think inspired you to come to church today? Do you think that you just out of the blue decided, oh, you know what? I think I'll go to that church down there today. No. You're here because he spoke to you and said, hey, go over there. Now, some of you might think, oh, no, I'm here because my parents drug me here. I'm here because my spouse drug me here. I'm here because my aunt or uncle or whoever drug me here. But the truth of it is, God has you here because he wants you to hear his voice. We need to have, if we're going to follow Christ, we need to hear his voice. We need to have ears to hear. And guess what? True hearers respond. How many are here today because you were compelled by the Holy Spirit to come here? You responded to God's voice. That is awesome. That's a good thing to respond to God's voice. You know why? Because he loves obedience, doesn't he? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's a verse I don't have in my notes here. I'm just going there for a moment. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, just going because you think it's the right thing to do, not because God called you. You do good things, you know, to try to be saved and all those things. I know a lot of people that, well, I'm saved because I do all these good things. Well, you know what? You've made a lot of sacrifice, but guess what? God is more interested in your obedience. And when you respond to his spirit, when he says to you, and you know what, you can take that thought a lot farther. I was speaking with somebody last night, and they were telling me about a story about a little child that they were working with, and they just felt compelled to just share Christ with this little child. And this person said to me, you know what, that I know that was God's voice telling me to do that, I should do that. I'm like, yeah, you should do that. When Jesus, how many of us at different times in our lives will be in the office or will be out in the marketplace or will be with our families or something, and we'll have this draw in our heart and just the impression of the Holy Spirit to just tell somebody about Jesus. And we get sweaty and we feel the pressure inside of us because we're nervous, and then we don't do it because it's like, oh no, the opportunity's not right. I praise God that sometimes, you know, sometimes he does make a pink elephant walk through the room. Sometimes we need that. But I really praise God when we're so sensitive to even his whispers and we hear him say, hey, you know what, there's one that needs you to tell him about me right now. that we'll respond to that. And we'll go tell them. I'll never forget, there's been some encounters, and I practice this. Again, all these things are intentional. You have to practice stuff to make perfect, right? And so every now and again, I'll just feel this draw. And I remember this one time I was at this place, and I just felt, my eyes caught somebody who was like way across in the distance. And there's a whole crowd of people, but my eyes caught this person. And I heard the Spirit say to me, go talk to that person. Okay. And so I made my way over and I talked to that person. And by the end of that conversation, that person was in tears saying, you have no idea how much I needed what you just said. And it wasn't about me, it was about Jesus. And the only thing I did was I responded to what the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart to share with somebody else. And so let me encourage you. You are going this week, and you can come back and you can tell me, Pastor, you were wrong. I'm okay with that. But you are going to experience this week an opportunity where the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in your heart, and he's going to tell you, hey, there's one right there. And he's going to want you to get out of your seat or stop whatever it is you're doing and go over there and share Christ with that person. How do I know he's going to do that to you? Because he does it to me all the time. And I believe he's been doing it to you, and you haven't been responding. Or maybe you have, and if you have, I am so grateful that you are listening to the Holy Spirit, and God is so thrilled that you are being obedient. But trust me, if you have been holding back, it's time for you to respond. And so when it happens, I want you to remember what I just told you. When it happens, you're going to, oh, Pastor said this was going to happen. There the person is that Jesus wants me to share Christ with. And please do it. They need him. They need it. They need you to be obedient to God. You need to hear his voice when he says, hey, go over there and do that. Go over to this one and say that. Hearers respond. James 1:22 says, doers, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, a lot of people step into church and they hear all the words, but they don't do anything about it. Again, spiritual growth is intentional. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Be one, a hearer who responds. I'm going to move along quickly. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. What's that saying? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, or they respond to my voice. John 10:4-5, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. Jesus is always going before us. And trust me, he will go before you. If he calls you to do something, he will go before you. He'll make the path straight for you. And he says, my sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, how many times are we following strangers? How many times are we following something other than the voice of Jesus Christ? We get caught up with strangers. And we ought not do that. We need to be listening to his voice and not follow anyone else. Be a responder and follow and do. Now, it takes desire to be with Jesus, to follow him. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. I've said this many times. I do not even want to come here if Jesus isn't going to be here. The reason I come here is because I always find him here. I don't want to go to Tops and wander down the aisles in Tops if Jesus Christ isn't there. I don't want to go anywhere where he's not. Now, we can think about where we go in our daily lives, and guess what? There's a lot of places that we might tread where Jesus is not going. Come on. Think about the people that some might hang out with. Think about the things that some might do. Think about the activities that Satan wants to tempt you into, and realize, you know what? Jesus isn't there. Go to the place where he is. Be in the place where he is. One thing I'm telling people all the time, just show up to the meeting. The church meeting, the worship meeting, the prayer meeting. the place where people gather together in his name. Go to where he is, because wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is, right in the midst of them. And so if you're wandering around Tops, and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if Jesus is here. Well, start wandering around and find somebody else that loves the Lord too. And walk right up, hey, do you know Jesus? That'd be a great way to start a conversation. And if they say, yes, I do, then say, hey, could you shop with me? Because I really want to be where Jesus is. He'll be right in our midst if the two of us just kind of hang out together. Could you imagine that if the church was doing that? I had somebody tell me the other day that the reason why they went to the church where they were going is some brother walked up to him and said, hey, do you know where there's a good church around here? And the guy looked at him and was like, no, I really don't. I don't go to any of these churches. And he said, oh, well, let me tell you of a church. He pulls out a card. Here's a good one. Go to where Jesus is. Now, where did Jesus go that he wants us to follow him? In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, Jesus heard it. He said to them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know where Jesus went? He went to where the lost are. Now, I just told you not to go where Jesus wouldn't be, but guess what? He's very near to the lost. He's not there to participate in their evil, sinful deeds. He's there to save them from it. And he wants us to go to the sinners as well. There's a video. I don't have time to show it. I'm going to show it next week. Hopefully, you'll be able to come back and see what that is. But that talks about loving the sinners. He went to call sinners to repentance. You know, it's really interesting that we struggle even to talk about Christ amongst one another sometimes. You know, you go out to a restaurant and you're with a believer and you start talking, you know, hopefully God comes up in the conversation and sometimes you start talking about God and it's like you're afraid to raise your voice because the people next door might hear. The people over there might get offended. Don't be afraid to talk about Jesus Christ in front of sinners. Because the truth of it is, God is already drawing them. Think about it. Before you got saved, where was Jesus Christ? I remember when I was a child growing up and when I was a teenager growing up, I remember after I got saved, I realized, oh my gosh, he was talking to me back then. He was drawing me to him then. And I didn't know it. I wasn't aware because I wasn't seeking him, but he was sure seeking me. And so every single soul that you come in contact, doesn't matter where you are, every single soul that you come in contact with, Jesus is already speaking to their heart. He's been talking to them every day of their life since they were born. That's something I believe, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, right? I believe he loves every single one of us so much that he speaks to each and every heart and soul that he created every single day. Are we listening? And are we responding? And if we were to respond and to follow him and hear his voice and go to the place where he wants us to go, we too will go and help sinners find Jesus Christ, help sinners find repentance. Now, last thing I'm going to talk about. He kept himself pure as he went. He said, follow him, right? In other words, go where he went, do what he did. Follow him. He kept himself pure. Pure. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, it says he knew no sin. Jesus stayed pure. Now, if you listen to some different cults and some different people, different ideas, they say, oh, well, Jesus, you know, he was having relations with the disciples and, you know, and he was had a baby with Mary or Martha or somebody. I don't know. Foolishness. Jesus never sinned. He stayed pure. How could you possibly go to a sinner and say, hey, you know what? I have salvation for you when you're not even saved yourself. You know, God will forgive you for your sins. How can you say that when you're walking in your sins yourself? It's important that we remain, and that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Anybody here perfect? No. You almost raised your hand. Hey. And so when we need to realize and know and understand, you know what, I'm not a perfect person. For me to be pure, I need to stay on my face before God. I need to repent when I fall. And if I'm going to reach anybody, though, they need to know that I'm doing my best not to be a sinner also. Talking with somebody who was struggling with just relationships with the opposite sex and what really wanted to draw this person to the Lord. But every time they got together with this person, they would fail and they would have a sexual encounter and wondered why he couldn't lead this person to the Lord. It's because you're not walking the Christian life either. Why would they? And that's just a simple example. It could be anything. If people, believe me, people are watching us. People are watching you. You call yourself a believer. If you have had the boldness to say, you know what, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, the moment you say that, woo, all eyes on you. Is he going to, I work construction for several years, demolition. I work with some really rough guys. Billy, some really rough guys. And they're watching to see if I'm going to swear, say a bad word. They're watching when we go to, because, you know, you go to lunch every now and again, and or you're out to dinner with the guys, and they go to bars. And they're watching to see if you're going to drink. They're watching to see if you're watching the women running around. Or if you're a lady, if you're whatever it is you're doing, they're watching. Because the moment you give them an excuse, the moment you slip, they say, well, he can't do it. I don't have to worry about it either. It's important. And I'm not trying to put something on you that you can't do, but let me tell you this, in Jesus Christ, we can do all things. But we need to be intentional about our walk with God. Because if we're not, the devil is very intentional about getting us to trip. Jesus knew no sin. He wants us to stay pure as well. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What good is an ambassador if he is not holding the standards of the one who he's the ambassador for? How would our American ambassadors look if they go overseas and they don't even try to uphold the standards of the United States? It'd be foolish. We're ambassadors for Christ. Somebody just told me they watched a movie the other night. Anybody ever watch that Mouse Tale story where the lady says, wowie? Never mind. A little sidetrack there. We're ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We pray you, we in Christ's stead, we pray for you. We, doing our best to uphold the standard of Christ, to live our lives in a pure way, we pray for you, that you too can be reconciled to God, have your sins forgiven as well. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, God is concerned that we live this Christian life with the same standard and purity that our Savior did. And you know what? If we're truly following Christ, he will not lead us into temptation, will he? No. But he will deliver us from the evil one if we're truly following him. Amen. Stand with me. That's half a message. Next week I'll give you the other half about fishers of men. And I'm really excited about the other half. And so I'll give you a little nugget of it. I put it on my Facebook account. Jesus taught us how to fish for men by using love as the bait. Think about that. That's interesting. Love is the bait when you're fishing for men. How is it that you came to Jesus Christ? you responded to his love for you. Father, I thank you for this day. The glorious weather that you have given us throughout this just wonderful weekend. Lord, for your presence here in this place. God, we're so grateful for your word that leads us and directs us. We're thankful that you have called us to follow you. And God, I pray for every person here this morning that we would be intentional about following you. Lord, that we would have our ears open and that we would respond. And Lord, that we would have a desire to be where it is that you lead us and that we would follow no other strangers. But God, put in our hearts a compass that points directly to you so that we would never turn from the path. I pray a blessing on each one today. If there be one here that has yet to commit to following you, that today would be the day, yes, I want to follow this Jesus. I want my life to be changed. And let me just speak to you this morning. If there is one here, if that's you, I know that the Spirit of God is drawing your heart right now. I know that he's speaking to you and saying, yeah, respond. Let me encourage you to respond by saying yes to Jesus Christ. By saying, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. And please come into my life and change it through the power of your Spirit. If that's you this morning, don't leave this place without coming and seeing me and letting me know that today you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, because I want to give you some more information, a little instruction, and a little encouragement. But for the rest of us, let me encourage you. Follow him. Listen. Hear his voice and follow him. He's going to lead you places that are awesome. And you might think, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes we get in places, it's like, oh, God, why did you lead me here? Sometimes he leads us to difficult places in order to strengthen us, in order that we would follow him even better. And so determine and make it the intent of your heart to go after him with all that you've got and become fishers of men. We'll talk about that next week. Father, bless each one today as we're dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Greet one another as you go. Tell somebody about Jesus if they look like they don't even know what we're talking about today. Amen. We will not have service tonight. However, Thursday night, let me remind you, Thursday night, we're going to be here at 7 o'clock for the Fidels. Also, Wednesday night, we have our Celebrate Recovery program. If you've yet to partake of that, I encourage you to come to that Wednesday night as well. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.